I would like us this evening to consider the words that are found in verses 30 and 31 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The Lord Jesus, along with Peter and Andrew, James and John, have come into the home of Simon and Andrew. We read in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Mark, in his Gospel, reveals Christ to us as the servant in toil, placing particular emphasis upon the work and the tireless service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no place in Mark's Gospel that this is better illustrated than here in our reading. It was the Sabbath day in Capernaum. And we notice, first of all, how the Lord Jesus commenced that day. We're told he entered into the synagogue and taught. Verse 21. We know that the Lord Jesus was very diligent about attending the Lord's house on the Sabbath day. He had, of course, been brought up that way. We know that from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, that the Lord's earthly parents went up on a yearly basis to Jerusalem, there for the Passover feast. And the Lord Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, accompanied Mary and Joseph. So from his earliest childhood days, the Lord Jesus attended the house of God. And then he began his earthly ministry. He again made sure that he was found in the synagogue or in the Lord's house. For we read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Some people, when they get away from home, soon neglect the attendance, the Lord's house, and the worship of God. But here the Lord Jesus sets for us a perfect example. He's commenced his ministry. And where does he go to? He begins in the house of the Lord. And so on this Sabbath in Capernaum, we find the Lord in a place of worship. That is how he commenced the Sabbath. Then our reading also tells us how he continued on the Sabbath day. Verses 28 and 29, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, he entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And we find that the Lord Jesus spent the Sabbath day in the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, along with James and John, and of course, Simon's mother-in-law also. The Lord Jesus spent the Sabbath day in that house, ministering and being ministered to. What a blessed way to spend the Sabbath. To spend the Sabbath day ministering and being ministered to. Having the Lord minister to us. The Lord Jesus again sets us the example. Next we notice how He closed His Sabbath. For we read in verses 32 to 34, and at even, remember He's still in the house of Simon and Andrew, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and He healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew Him. Now here the Lord Jesus commenced His Sabbath day in the Lord's house. And we find that He spent the day in the house of Simon and Andrew. And He closes the day, even as the sun was setting, He closes that day ministering unto all who came to that house. Now when we think of it, the Lord Jesus had a long Sabbath. You know, that reminds me of Robert Murray McShane. Because McShane used to rise on the Sabbath morning at 4 o'clock. And he would go to his study and pray. And he said he liked to rise early on the Sabbath because he wanted to enjoy a long Sabbath. The Lord Jesus enjoyed a long Sabbath. Oh, may we be like the Savior and enjoy a long Sabbath day. We notice something else, that even though the Savior had a long Sabbath, it didn't hinder Him rising the next morning and going to the place of prayer, because we read in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Rising up a great while before day. The Lord Jesus went out into a solitary place, and there He prayed. So His long Sabbath, indeed His busy Sabbath. In fact, as God's people, sometimes we see the Sabbath as the busiest day of the week because we're so busy in the Lord's work. And we're so busy going to and fro to meetings. Well, that's how the Lord spent His Sabbath. He was busy in the work of His Heavenly Father. And it was a long Sabbath day. But then the next morning He was up a great while before day seeking the face of His Heavenly Father. But it is His stay in the home of Peter and Andrew that we want to consider this evening. He came that day into a home where there was a great need. Simon's mother-in-law. I wonder what the Romanists do with that verse. When they tell us that Peter was the first pope, well, lo and behold, the first pope was married. He had a wife. Of course, Peter wasn't the first pope. But he most certainly was married. Because here reference is made to his mother-in-law who lay sick of a fever. And that day the Lord Jesus came into that home and He healed her. Now, dear child of God, tonight as we gather here in the Lord's house, perhaps you have someone at home. Maybe not in your actual house where you dwell, but you have someone at home. You have a member of your family. who needs the healing touch of the Master. Maybe someone at home needs a touch on their bodily frame. They're suffering from some physical ailment. But then, on the other hand, maybe there's someone at home, they're suffering from some spiritual sickness. You long to see them healed of that sickness, whatever it is, whatever that ailment is, whether it's physical or spiritual. Well, what the Lord did for Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, He's able to do for your loved one as well. So let us take some encouragement tonight from the Word of God regarding this matter. We notice, first of all, here in our reading, or here in our text, that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Here we have a problem in the home. They've gone to Simon, Peter, and Andrew's home, and there in that home, there is a problem, and the problem has to do with Simon's wife's mother, because she lay sick of a fever. Concerning this problem at home, we notice that it was a servant's problem. Because Simon Peter has just been called to serve the Lord. He has just been called to be one of the Lord's disciples. Verses 16 and 17. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. And even though he had a sick person or a sick loved one at home, he still obeyed the Master's call and followed the Savior. And so we see that Simon Peter, even though he was one of the Lord's disciples, he was not exempt from having a problem at home. This has been the case with some of the Lord's greatest servants. When I thought of Simon Peter being one of the Lord's servants and having this problem at home, I thought about John Wesley. John Wesley had a problem at home. And that problem concerned his wife. Charles, his brother, had advised John against marrying this particular woman, but he went ahead and married her anyway. Short time after the knot was tied, John realized his mistake. And then Arnold Dullamore's biography of Charles Wesley is this to say about John. He says it soon became evident that John had made a very regrettable choice. His wife tried to travel with him, but could not keep up the pace. The itinerant life bothered her. She disliked horse riding, complained about the inns, the poor food, the muddy roads, and the rainy weather. Wesley said that to hear so much complaint about traveling was like tearing the flesh of his bones. And so poor John had a hard time. He had this problem at home. Even though he was one of the Lord's greatest servants. David king of Israel had a problem at home in the person of his son Absalom, his rebellious son. David was king, man after God's own heart. Yet back at home, David had this rebellious son Absalom, who knew not God. Think of Jairus. We're all familiar with the story of Jairus and the problem he had at home. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a ruler. He was a famous, well-known man in his area. But he had a problem at home. His young daughter, when he first came to the Lord to tell him about her, was nigh unto death. So, dear child of God, tonight, we see that even some of the greatest servants of the Lord, these problems at home. Simon Peter, disciple of Christ, had a problem at home. Not only was it a servant's problem, it was a secret problem. Who would have thought that when the Lord Jesus walked along the shores of Galilee and saw Peter and Andrew fishing, and called them to be his disciples, who would have thought, who would have known that there was anything wrong at home? But for these two verses that we have here in Mark, and a couple of verses in Matthew and Luke, we wouldn't have known anything about Simon Peter's problem or his burden that he had at home. It would have remained secret. It would have remained hidden from our view. So it is with some of the Lord's choicest servants. They are carrying a secret burden. It is a burden that perhaps only they know about. It is a burden that perhaps only a few know about. For example, look at Paul. Paul had a physical problem. Paul had a physical need, something that he besought the Lord about three times. Now, what was that problem? Nobody knows. Oh, we can guess at it. We can make an attempt at guessing what the problem was and what Paul's need was, but Paul has kept it to himself. For the apostle, it was a secret burden that only he and the Lord knew anything about. And here is Simon Peter, and he had that secret burden, a burden that only the Lord Jesus could lift, and a problem that only the Lord Jesus could solve. Sometimes we have our secret problems. Those things that no one else knows anything about. But the Lord is able to meet those needs, solve the problems, and lift the burden. We notice also the sensitivity of the problem. We see just how sensitive this matter was. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now, this is not a slight on mother-in-law, not saying it was a sensitive problem because it was Simon's mother-in-law. That's not the point we want to make. It was a sensitive problem because it involved Simon Peter's wife. It involved or concerned his wife's mother. It was a sensitive matter because it was something that was very personal. This was a personal thing. It concerned his wife and more particularly his wife's mother. That's what made it very sensitive. It was personal. Peter felt it. His wife felt it. And his wife's mother felt it even more. If someone in the home is sick of a fever, then no one is as sensitive to that particular matter as you are. Sensitive to you because it's personal. If someone in the home is out of Christ, then no one feels the weight of that burden more than you do. Remember the words of Jairus to the Lord regarding his daughter. What did he say? He said, "My little daughter, my little daughter lieth at the point of death." Those three words, "my little daughter," what do they convey to us? They surely convey to us something that Jairus felt in a very deep and personal way. He says, "She's my daughter." Not only that, he says, "She's my little daughter." So to emphasize to the Lord just how precious that child was to Jairus and his wife. So Jairus felt it very deeply. No one felt the pain of that child's illness more than Jairus and his wife, with the exception of the Lord Jesus himself. But then Jairus came to the right person. He came to the one who understood his pain. And he came to the one who was able to help. We go a little further and we notice that it was a severe problem. Mark tells us that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. But Luke tells us Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And of course, we have to go to Luke's gospel to get the added details with regard to the sickness of those whom the Lord healed. He was the doctor, of course. And so he knew all about the fever that Simon's mother-in-law had. And he said she was taken with a great fever. So it was a severe problem. The fever was great. Problem was great. And the need was great. That is how we all see our problem. To each one of us, to each one of us personally, whatever need we have, whatever problem we have, whatever burden we carry, we are the ones who see just how great that need or that problem is. That is how we see our problems. That is how we understand them. Why? Because they affect us. And when you think of it, this fever has such a grip upon Simon's mother-in-law that she was unable to rise up from her sickbed. You know, maybe that soul at home, maybe that soul, that individual at home, that personal friend of ours, that relative of ours, so ill, they're unable to rise up out of their sickbed. Or maybe they're so ill spiritually. The fever has such a grip upon them that they don't want to hear anything about Christ. They don't want to hear anything of His gospel. They don't want to know anything of your prayers. They've turned a deaf ear to your word of witness. Fever of sin has such a grip upon them. And you feel it. Even as evidently Simon Peter felt it when his mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. So we have there then the problem at home. Then secondly, we have the person who could help. Why isn't it good to know that when we have a problem at home, there's one who's able to help? That one, of course, is Christ. We see here in our reading that after the service in the synagogue, the Lord and the four disciples entered the home. So there was the Lord, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John. And now when the five individuals entered that home, grace entered that home as well. Along with the four disciples was the Lord Jesus. We have here the Lord's coming into the home. And the Lord's coming into that home, that house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, I cannot help but notice the Lord's humility. Where have they just come from? The Lord has just come from the synagogue where He has ministered to a great congregation. He has just come from, I have no doubt, a beautiful synagogue where the architecture would impress all who would have attended that place of worship. The Lord leaves the synagogue and His very next stop is the house of a common fisherman. This speaks to me of the Lord's humility. The Lord Jesus would go wherever He was needed. And even though it was the house, perhaps a cottage of a fisherman, the Lord Jesus was pleased to go there. Dear child of God, you need not be afraid of the Lord Jesus not entering your home and meeting the need of that one in your home or your family who is sick of a fever, whether it is spiritual or physical. You need not be afraid. The Lord will not pass your home by. The Lord Jesus is humble enough and gracious enough to come into your home and meet the need that is there, found there in your dwelling place. I see not only His humility, I also see here His help. for the Lord Jesus came into that home, what to do? He came into that home to help. Why, he not only helped Simon's mother-in-law, but at the close of the day, he helped a multitude of people. Because a multitude of people gathered congregations. The Lord Jesus healed people. He healed every one of them. He didn't send any of them away and say, oh, your faith wasn't strong enough. Oh, you didn't trust me enough. Matthew and Luke tells us that when they came, he healed them all. He healed every one of them. They weren't just healed for a short time. He healed them completely. Entirely and absolutely. We may have our problems at home, but thank God, like Simon Peter, we know one who's able to help. Isn't it good to know the one who is able to help? Jesus Christ is the great helper. He's the one who is able to help what hopeless cases we would be if we didn't know the Lord and didn't know the one who is able to help. Because why we know Christ, the one who is able to help, bless his name, there is hope. There's always hope when we know Christ. We have then the Lord's coming into the home. Then we have the Lord's company in the home. You see that along with Peter and Andrew, James and John entered that home. Now we don't know this. But perhaps James and John didn't know anything about Simon's mother-in-law prior to entering the house. Maybe it was something that had been kept from them also. But if they didn't know beforehand about Simon's mother-in-law, they certainly knew about it that day when they entered the home with the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice what they did. Notice what James and John, Simon, Peter, and Andrew did immediately they entered the home. We read in verse 30, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, or the word anon means immediately, and immediately they tell him of her. And so the first thing they did upon entering the home of Simon's, Peter and Andrew's house, the first thing they did was to pray. They tell him of her. Note, it says, they tell him of her. In other words, once Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John entered the home, they collectively shared the burden of Simon's mother-in-law. They shared the burden in prayer, and they collectively took the matter to the Lord. We are to share one another's burdens. dear child of God, any burdens that you may have that we happen to know about, even as the minister of this church, let us say this. We are sharing the burden with you at the throne of grace. So you're not carrying the burden alone. Just as James and John, Simon, Peter, and Andrew came to the Lord and shared the burden of Simon's mother-in-law. We share your burdens as well. The next thing we see is the Lord's compassion that He demonstrated there in that home. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Now we know that Simon and Andrew and James and John with the Savior entered into the house. We read in Mark 1:30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of the fever, and the nun they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. But Matthew tells us something else. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, mark the words, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. The Lord Jesus entered the home, and upon entering the home, he saw the need. He, of course, would have known the need in that home long before he entered that place, that dwelling place. But isn't it comforting to know what Jesus, he saw Simon's mother-in-law lay sick of the fever. That dear soul at home that is spiritually sick, the Lord Jesus knows all about it. He sees that one who is spiritually sick. He sees that one who is physically sick. He knows all about it. He knows. It's good when others know. But it's better when Jesus knows. Jesus knew all about Simon's mother-in-law. He saw. What a comfort that is. That son or that daughter who's still out of Christ. That husband, that wife who's far from God. Isn't it good to know that Jesus sees? And he knows all about it. We notice his tenderness there in that home, because we are told that when he saw Simon's wife's mother, she lay there sick of the fever, he came and took her by the hand. There's his tenderness. Simon wasn't able to take his mother-in-law by the hand and lift her up and heal her of the fever. Neither was Andrew, neither was James, neither was John, but the Lord was able to do it. Isn't that what we're praying about? praying that the Lord will take that one who is sick of the fever, whether it is spiritual or physical. We're praying the Lord will take them by the hand. Because we can't do it. And the preacher can't do it. And the pastor can't do it. But the Lord can do it. He is able. Regarding the Lord's compassion, we notice the power of His healing touch. And He came and took her by the hand, verse 31, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. The fever left. There's His power. Now what did Luke tell us about Simon's mother-in-law? Luke told us that she had been taken of a great fever. And so Simon's mother-in-law was in a serious condition. But when Jesus came into the house and took her by the hand, the Lord Jesus healed her. And no matter how great the fever was, it had to go. And the Lord Jesus came into the life of Legion. The devils had to go. And even the one that He healed there in the synagogue, we are told, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. So it was with the fever. And we are told then that the fever left her, verse 31, and she ministered unto them. The very hand that the Lord Jesus had taken was the same hand that was used in ministering unto Christ. But isn't that what we're praying about? Isn't that what we're longing to see? That the very hand that is steeped in sin, the hand that is raised against the gospel, the hand that is raised against us, we're longing to see that same hand after it has received the touch of the Master, that hand used in the service of Christ. The Lord is able. And many men and women down through the years raised their hand against Christ and the gospel, and now they're serving the Master. That's what the Lord is able to do. And we close then with the words, or with the thought of that place that was honored. It was a problem, yes, in that home. And there was a person who could help. And whenever the Lord Jesus did His work in that house, that place was honored. Because we're told, in verse 32, and that even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. It is very evident from verse 32 and then verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out. It is very evident that the Lord Jesus stayed in that home that night. He honored that Lord or that place with His presence. He honored that place by staying in that house overnight. You see, the Lord will only stay where He's welcome. When we consider that loved one that knows not the Savior, we know that they would not welcome Christ into the home. But oh, when the Lord does His work, answers prayer, casts out the fever, the hand that for years has been raised against Christ, when that hand begins to serve Christ, there's a welcome in the home. There was a welcome for Christ there. He stayed all night. He honored that house with His presence by staying that night. He honored that house by His service. From that house, the Lord did a great work. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. And He healed a multitude of people, and it all happened at the house of Simon and Andrew. How that house was transformed. How that house was changed. The multitude would not have come to that house if the Lord had not have been there. They came because the Lord was. It honored that house with His presence, with His power. And suddenly that house became a soul-saving shop, a rescue mission, a yard from the gates of hell. That's what the Lord is able to do with our homes. Let us pray to that end. Those loved ones that are sick of a fever, let's pray for the healing touch. And let us pray that indeed our homes will be honored in the presence and the power of Christ. And that our homes, many, will seek the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Father and our gracious, loving God, do rejoice indeed in what Christ is able to do. And how we're glad tonight that we know Him, that we love Him. And dear Lord, we bless Thee that He is our very present help in our times of trouble. He is ever present. And, oh Lord, even as we considered this morning how Thy Lord did show Moses that tree. When He cast it into the bitter waters, the waters were made sweet. Dear Lord, we thank Thee that that tree was near at hand. We only needed to see it. We thank Thee, our Father, that our Savior is always near at hand. Even at our elbow. Oh, gracious Lord, help us to see the Master. Gracious Lord, come and touch with Thine own healing touch those, Lord, that are sick, those, Lord, who are sick in body. Heal them, we pray. Bless our sister Anna in hospital. O gracious Lord, touch Thy child, we pray. Even as Thou didst touch Simon's mother-in-law. And Lord, the many others we've been praying about. O Lord, be pleased to touch with Thy healing touch and healing power. Dear loving Father, those that are sick of soul, they need a touch as well. O God, save them by Thy grace. Do it for Thy name's sake. And Help us, Lord, to share the burden and to pray these sinners into the kingdom. Lord, answer prayer. Answer prayer and answer speedily according to Thy will. Be with us now as we leave the house of God. Be with those, Lord, that have a little further to travel. Gracious Lord, keep Thy hand upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever, until the Lord Himself comes, or until He calls His redeemed people home. Amen.